Today we conclude a series that has been dealing with the theme of change. The title for the sermon this morning is The Domino Effect. There are two readings. The first comes from the book of Genesis. You will recognize it as the story of the first sin and its punishment. And then the second reading will be a few verses from the book of Job in the Old Testament as well. Listen to God's word as it comes to us first from Genesis 3, beginning at verse 8. Adam and Eve, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave me to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree, and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me, and I ate." The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you among all animals and among all wild creatures. Upon your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I will make pangs in childbirth exceedingly great. In pain you shall bring forth children. Yet your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." And to the man he said, "Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree about which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." And then from the book of Job's, a little known reference from Job's friends. This is what they mention about him. In the midst of all of his sufferings, they remind one another who Job was. "See, you have instructed many. You have strengthened the weak hands. Your words have supported those who were stumbling, and you have made firm the feeble knees." Here ends the reading of God's word, and to God's name be all glory and praise, all power and dominion. Let us pray. O Lord and our God, we give you thanks for your word read, and now your word proclaimed. O Lord, send your Spirit upon us. Open our eyes that we might see, and open our ears that we might hear a word that you have tailor-made for each person here. And we know that you will give us insight, for it is in Christ's name that we ask it. Amen. Well, we have been dealing with the theme of change. If you were not here a couple of weeks ago, the first sermon in this series that affirmed that change is an inevitable part of our lives. The most important thing we said in a world amidst a sea of change is to know the Eternal One, the One who does not change, the One who is our rock and our strength and our very present help in times of trouble. The Eternal One. The second message, we focused on how we are changed by the events that take place in our lives and how God uses them to shape and to mold us for God's own mighty purposes, even when we do not understand. Out of such changes we mentioned last week, people have come to make lifelong commitments to Christ in their faith. And in today's sermon, the last one in this series, it is entitled The Domino Effect. And the domino effect of which I refer to today can easily be visualized by placing a row of dominoes upright, close to one another, and upon pushing the first one, the next domino in line will be knocked down, and so on and so forth. I almost showed you a YouTube video this morning of 350,000 dominoes being knocked over one after one, but it took as long as the sermon. And so I want to encourage you, as I did, to waste an hour and to go on YouTube and look at all of the dominoes. Where these people have with the time to do this, I don't know, but it is amazing to watch. The domino effect, that is the message for today. With a little imagination, we can see how such influence, one thing upon another, how such an effect can serve as an ethical warning to each one of us. And what I mean by this is that there are many people in our world, and we know this, we can read about it in the paper, we hear about it in the news, many people who do wrong but do not see any danger in it, do not sense the danger. They often forget that the wrong that they do can have long-term consequences, not just for themselves, but for those they leave in their wake for years and generations to come. Recall with me, for example, the simple, well-known story of the prodigal son. We have heard that story a lot. We know its meaning. The son leaves the father. He breaks the parents' heart. He surprises the community. The father gives his son, that younger son, the inheritance, and he goes off to the far country. And in that far country, he finds some fair weather friends who help him spend that inheritance. And we can only imagine how his father was hurt by him spending his inheritance in the ways that he did. And then we said, yes, we know that story, but the story ends, does it not, with the son coming home and the father throwing a party. My son who was lost is now found. That's the story, right, Pastor? No, it goes further than that. We can imagine the pain that this young man caused his family. It created enmity, we read in the story, between he and his older brother who did not go into the celebration. We can imagine the surprise, the disappointment the whole community had for that young man. There were no doubt others who suffered because of his acts, perhaps even when he was in that far country doing wrong. You see, it's almost like a trail that we leave behind us long after we have gone, the impact that we have on others through our words and our actions. Take, for example, the matter of gossip. I haven't heard that word in a while, gossip. I remember growing up, and the pastor in my home church used to say, when you say the word, it sounds like a snake. Gossip. Gossip. Nowadays, we refer not to the word gossip, but we use the term fake news, do we not? And so I had to go back and look up the word gossip in the Webster's Dictionary to remind myself what it meant. And it reads, casual or unconstrained conversation or reports about other people, typically involving details that are not confirmed as being true. I remember being given the advice that before you gossip, before you pass along something you have heard, ask three questions. And the first question you should ask yourself is it true? And the second question is it kind? And the third question, is it really necessary to share it? Perhaps you slip up and tell a story, a tale about someone, and you discover not long after that it has injured that person. It has hurt them, and you apologize perhaps to the person, you ask forgiveness, but the story keeps circulating. You see, the domino effect, it won't stop. One thing influences another. You may have heard the Arab proverb. It goes like this about gossip. It says, four things will never come back. An arrow shot into the sky, an opportunity which has been neglected, an event that has happened in the past, and finally, a careless word that spreads to the winds. The writer of Genesis this morning reminded us how Adam and Eve left a very negative effect. The energies of their actions left an awful legacy. After the story of the fall from the Garden of Eden, where before the fall, Adam and Eve had walked with God in the cool of the evening. Can you imagine that? And what happened after that when they had disobeyed God? The snake is cursed and crawls on its belly and is feared. The woman has pain in childbirth, and the man must toil in sweat to earn a living. The story of the fall, the original sin. It is like a domino effect from one generation to the other. And we have participated in that original sin, disobeying God in some way in our lifetime. That's the negative side of the domino effect, the negative side of the message this morning that I want to share with you. But there is good news here also. There is a positive word. There is a positive influence that we can have on others that is ennobling, that is uplifting, that is faithful, a positive influence. There is a domino effect to our faith, to our love, and to the goodness and the kindness that we practice. There are good consequences that can come from the things that we say and the things that we do. They can influence others greatly, and they can benefit from what we say and do. And I believe, for one, that such a positive response from us upon others stems from knowing the goodness of our eternal God. It also comes from being together in worship, worshiping the beauty of Christ and the impact that it can have in our lives and thus on the lives of others. I suspect we never really fully realize the influence of one life and what it has, the influence on another. I'm reminded of that more and more every day as you get older, right? How many of us have traditions of regular prayers at the dinner table before eating? Or prayers with family and friends on the holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas. Prayers with a neighbor. Perhaps practicing habits of kindness, which we inherited from those who mentored us from our homes. Learning kindness and how to treat others. If we say such prayers and we practice such habits of kindness, it is often because we modeled them from a mother or a father or a grandparent, even an employer who bothered before we went home from work to come to you individually and say, thank you for being here this evening and working. Oh, how good it would be if we might pass on in our conversation around tables with one another at least once a day take time where persons are recognized and affirmed. And around that table say, you know, we ought to do something for that person. We ought to thank them. Remember old Job in the Bible? I'm fascinated by this particular passage in the Bible because we know Job suffered greatly. He had many losses, and they are recorded in the book that bears his name. Job is related to suffering. We remember the suffering of Job. But Job's friends, who in the story were not very much help to him with their advice, they tell in a particular set of verses of Job's good works and the positive influence that he had on others. I would imagine we don't recall these verses. This is what is said of Job by his friends in our reading this morning. Job's word supported those who were stumbling. He made firm those with shaky knees. Have you ever had shaky knees? It's good to have a support, someone who can help them stop shaking. What a tribute that is to Job's influence on others. Remember that about Job. Not just how much he suffered, but the kind of positive influence he had on others. Would this could be said of us? That would be terrific, wouldn't it? There's a Presbyterian pastor, Tom Toole, and in many of his sermons, he used the term about those who support us in our lives. He used the phrase and called them balcony people, those who provide us with support. There are friends, there are parents, there are others who stand with us often and call us out with words of encouragement from the sidelines. They cheer us on to do the best we can, even in times of trouble. We all need balcony people. When you face a challenge or obstacle, or you have to make an important decision, do you think you would do better by having balcony people or those who just said, boo, boo, right? Of course, we all need balcony people. Do you believe that there are days in your life when you need an encouraging word from others? Do you believe that? Of course you do. Can you remember a time? Can you remember a time when you were affirmed by someone and you needed it? I hope you'll take time and share that with someone else this week. Share with them a time in which you needed help and someone was there in the balcony for you, cheering you on. And I want to say to you this morning, everybody needs a cheerleader. And this includes a 10-year-old with a bellyache, an 80-year-old with a backache, anyone with a headache, and everyone with a heartache. Amen? Everyone can use balcony people. To give courage, to encourage, and to give someone heart who is downhearted. And there are many people in our world who are downhearted and who could use a word of encouragement. Let me share an illustration with you that I think gets to the heart of this domino effect today. It comes from a church member some years ago who gave me an editorial that was sent to the newspaper about her mother who had been a teacher. And part of the letter said this, "I pay tribute to a very special lady, the late," and the name was given. "She was my son's second grade teacher. She was a godsend to him when he needed someone like her in his life. He was very quiet as a child and lacked in about everything. And she gave to my son Mike the most important gifts he needed at the time, the ability to believe in oneself and the confidence to succeed. Each time in his life he received some special recognition or accomplished something years later in his life, in my heart, I always believed that she was still there in spirit. Such was the impact she had on my son Mike and on me to write this letter about her. All that for a second grade teacher. It's a great tribute to a teacher, and perhaps it applies to many teachers. I'm sure it does. I could share that story 10 times over of the people who have influenced and had an impact on my life. And the point I am making this morning, however, is that most of us may never know the creative influence, the creative energy that passes from our lives into the lives of others and make the world richer for such an influence. They may never hear or see the gracious impact that follows them, but it's important to practice kindness and generosity. There is a positive impact in a single kindness expressed toward another person. And that's what we're saying today. Christian love can be contagious. It can be. The domino effect. We are responsible for the impact we have on the lives of others. Just read the New Testament. What did the writers of the New Testament remember about Jesus? They recall that when he was reviled, and the word reviled means to be insulted and criticized in an abusive manner, and he was often. And the disciples tell us he never reviled in return. He never abused back. They remembered his openness to human need, his caring for others. They recalled how he was willing to die for them. And the impact of that led them to carry on in the very same spirit. And so this morning, may the beauty of Christ be the image that you gently leave upon others when you touch them ever so carefully in the coming week and months ahead in your life. And never forget the potential energy of your life and the chain reaction your life can have on others. Praise be to God. Amen.